Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, finishing the clog socks, progress on Ivy, my knitting list, hand-knitted mufflements, and duplicate October. Episode 30 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather. I'm on Twitter at The Ord Knitter, on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Hello, and here we are again. I hope you've had a good knitting week. I don't know if anyone who's listening took part in the hashtag SKSitAndKnit last night on Twitter. That's run by Simply Knitting Mag. There's a few people who are taking part, so that might snowball. It's quite fun to take part at the moment as we head towards Christmas and people have things to show and tell. And of course, there's also Knitting Hour, which I think I have now finally got the hang of. It's between 7:30 and 8:30 on a Thursday evening. It's not the best time of the evening for me, so I don't put in a great appearance, but I may pop up. Anyway, they're there and they're good fun, and it's great to see what people are knitting and also to ask questions and get answers and so on. So I really encourage you to take part in those if you're on Twitter and have the time. I said in the introduction, finishing clog socks, because the finishing is taking me quite a while. I started these clog socks several weeks ago. My idea with them was to make a pair for my son, pair for my daughter, pair for my husband, and put them in Christmas stockings just as little extra gifts. I gave you chapter and verse a week or two ago about wearing Crocs in the house, mainly to prevent daily Lego injuries from my son. And these clog socks are designed to work well with Crocs. They sort of echo the opening shape, you know, they're a low rise sock with, because it's all stocking stitch, the cuff isn't a ribbed cuff, it's one of those where because it's stocking stitch, the knitting just rolls itself over on the top. So I started these a few weeks ago. I thought I'll make one pair, I'll make the biggest size with my husband in mind, I'll see how they go. And then I went along to the charity knitting group for the first time, had the conversation about how they very rarely have things like socks finished to donate. And I thought afterwards, I've got these on the needles, so why don't I just finish them and donate them? That seemed a bit of a no-brainer, really. So at the time my main project was the Ivy wrap top, and I decided to myself that I wanted to finish the back piece. The Ivy is made in several pieces, and I thought if I finish the back, then that feels like that's probably it will be the single biggest piece of knitting. So although I haven't broken the back of it, I'm not halfway there, but psychologically it feels like I've really gone past a really important milestone. So that's what I've done. I finished Ivy and then I picked up the clog socks again. And once I actually got on with them, because they're low rise and because they're Aran, it's a quick knit once you actually pull your finger out and get on with it. So I got them largely finished, and I don't know if you experience this, but I find it quite dangerous to get to the point of casting off a project at about 10 o'clock or 10:30 at night. Because I'm getting tired by then. I'm not by no means a night owl. I'm not much of a lark either, to be honest. I like to get up late and go to bed early. Suits me very nicely. But when I get to the point where I can cast off and it's basically past my bedtime, I can be quite tempted to just stay up and get it done. Because it feels like a small thing to do, especially with a pair of socks. Goodness me, you know, I wasn't even casting off 100 stitches. But the trouble is, because you're tired, you can end up making mistakes. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? So I cast off the first sock. I think had I cast it off completely, I'd certainly cast it off to within one or two stitches. And I said a bad word because I realised I hadn't done a stretchy bind off. I think it's because it's my fault. It's not a problem with the pattern at all, but I was, partly because I was tired, I think, I was just blindly staring at the pattern and going, cast off, right, or bind off, right, okay. I wasn't thinking bind off with a stretchy bind off because it's a sock. Anyway, I found this video on YouTube, which I have used before, and it's so valuable. It's fantastic. It's undoing a bind off. And I was really pleased that at least if I was going to screw up and bind off in a way that I shouldn't, I had at least done a normal, so-called normal bind off, a really basic standard pull one stitch over the other bind off, because that was very easy to undo. That's what this undoing bind off video shows you, is how to undo that standard bind off. And it's great and it works. It's actually curiously satisfying, to be honest. So I bound off, I unbound off this first sock that I'd bound off completely, and decided instead to do the Russian bind off. And I've realised that I shouldn't surprise me, because this is the case with so much in knitting. There are variations on the Russian bind off. And I was watching one video and thinking, oh, I'm sure that's not quite how I did it before. And I thought, I'm going to go to very pink, because I think that's my general standard port of call for anything that I'm not sure about, if I feel I really want it from the horse's mouth. And the way that she did it was how I remembered it. Effectively, the principle of the Russian bind off is that you're knitting two together. That I will leave it with that, because if I start trying to explain it, I'm going to get into a hideous tangle. So you knit two together. I'm going to completely contradict myself. I am going to explain it. So there, you knit two together, and then the knit stitch that you're left with on your right needle, you slip it back onto your left needle, knit two together, and you just keep doing that. And it's not as stretchy as Jenny Stallman, isn't it? Jenny's unbelievably, amazingly, incredible stretchy bind off, but it doesn't need to be for these. I think that's more than adequate. I didn't want to use my normal super stretchy bind off, because you get a slightly frilled cuff effect. That's fine when I'm knitting socks for my husband. It's not a problem, especially because when he's actually got them on, it's stretched out to its full extent normally, and so you don't get that effect on. But these socks are going to be given to hospital patients who are in hospital at Christmas, and I just thought that someone who may never have been given hand knitted socks before might look at these and think it was a little bit odd that it had this sort of frilly cuff. It might give the wrong impression, they might think they didn't want them or something. So I went for the Russian bind off instead, which I think has done the job. So I did that on the first sock, and then I went to do the second one, and I think realised that I had actually partly bound off, because I do my socks two at a time in the round. You essentially, your general principle as you're going along is you knit half of one sock, you then knit half of the second sock, you knit the other half of the second sock, and then you go back and knit the second half of the first sock, because that's the way that you meet them as they're arranged on the needle. So I realised I had actually cast off part of the first sock as well. I'd just forgotten, so I had to undo that, and then got them both bound off. But by the time I'd done all that last night, because I had other stuff going on as well, I realised that, you know, it was about bedtime and I was getting tired, and I thought, right, I'm not going to start weaving my ends in now. I'm going to wait till I'm fresh. So I'll probably do that when I'm waiting at school this afternoon for my son. And as I mentioned at the beginning, it was SK Sit and Knit last night on Twitter. And while I was there, I thought I would ask how other people manage weaving in ends on a stocking stitch edge, which is going to roll out, because obviously you see a little bit of the wrong side. You may recall in the summer I had endless problems, because it's me, knitting this ladybird hat for my mother-in-law. Part of the problem, in fact, major part of the problem, most of the problem, is that I was designing this thing myself, and I'm not a designer. I do understand the nuts and bolts of knitting, but I understand them from the knitting side, not from the designing side. So I I didn't make the best fist of designing this so that the finished article had a sort of elegant finish, if you like. And so the edge of the hat, where it rolled up at the front, was obviously where I was weaving my ends in. So I asked last night, and a user, she said I could mention her. Her username is SarahFig82. That's Fig with two G's. She said when she has to weave in ends on a stocking stitch rolled edge, she uses duplicate stitch. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. She says she didn't come up with it herself, but anyway, she's a person who told me, and I think that's really great. Then she said, I don't think it works so well in thicker yarn. And I thought, well, I can see that's the case, because I'm doing these socks in Aran, and you could end up with some quite thick edges. I thought you could do a compromise, which is when you sort of weave, you just try as unobtrusively as possible, simply to weave your end down, catching through the other stitches until you're down at a point inside the sock where nobody's going to see what you do, and then you can use your normal weaving in of choice. I do like using the so-called proper weaving in of ends that Stacey Perry has demonstrated on Very Pink. The thing I have found, though, is that if that's fine on stocking stitch, if you've got a rib, which at the top of the sock and then the calf, the leg, is ribbed, at that point it's a bit tricky to do that normal bind off, because it doesn't account for purl stitches, and at least I have never been able to make it work for purl stitches. So I'll bind off later, and I think the compromise is to just weave the end through so that it's out of sight before you do the actual proper weaving in bit. So that was really useful. I was glad I asked, and I got a useful answer, and it's good to bear in mind for future projects that I do with a stocking stitch rolled edge in a lighter yarn. I can see that duplicate stitch tip coming in very handy. I was pleased to get the back of Ivy finished. I was saying earlier that feels like real progress. The next thing I need to knit, I have a knitting list at the moment, which was to finish the garden clog socks. Well, that's 99% done, just this weaving in later. The next thing I need to start on is making the wrist warmers that were the charity project that I was originally going to start before I thought, well, these socks are on the go, may as well finish them. They should be fairly quick. They're knit in the same sort of concept as the little Houndale's wrist warmers I did earlier this year, which is you knit them flat and then you seam and you just don't seam for the thumb. So that should be pretty quick and easy. Ha, famous last words. And Mum, if you're listening, please put your hands over your ears and hum for 5 seconds. I'm going to make a hat for my mum. I'm going to make the Capitan hat in a white chunky yarn that I have. That's going to be a Christmas present for her. And I think that will suit the kind of things that she wears. But all of those are quite small projects that I can take out and about. And I'm not yet at the point of hysteria over Christmas knitting. So I think what I'm going to start on this evening, unless something else comes up that's really urgent, because, you know, it can happen with knitting, I'm going to start on the next part of the Ivy wrap top. And from what I can tell, each of the three main parts, the back and then the left side and the front side, they're all knit in the same basic idea of you do the twisted rib cuff section and then you work up the body. So that's what I'm going to do. I got a little bit nervous about the measuring for the wrap top because, as I was explaining before, I wanted the top to be a bit longer than the pattern states, because I just prefer a slightly longer top these days. And so I made the actual back section longer than it would have been. You know, all I mean, I hope I'm not committing a huge howler, but how I approach that is where it tells you to start shaping for the armholes. If the overall piece doesn't extend as far down me as I want it to, I will just do a few more rows or inches or whatever until I'm happy for the armhole shaping to start, because the actual piece to that point goes where I want it to go to. And I thought I'd got that right, and then I'd been shaping the armholes, and then I was just knitting, I don't know what the technical term is, the sort of back yoke, I suppose, between your shoulder blades and the back of your neck. And I was, you know, toodling away. It's stocking stitch, so it's pretty mindless. Once you're past the twisted rib, it's as if it's the reward for the twisted rib, because you really can't get confused on that. I was just thinking, I don't want to go too far on this, partly because, you know, time's at a premium and I don't want to spend too long knitting stuff that I may then just have to rip out. That really wasn't the plan. So I went and got the other wrap top that I wear, and I measured this one against it. I'd expected to need to carry on for another couple of inches for getting it to the measurements I thought it needed to be, but in fact I was nearly there, so that was fine. I didn't take much persuading, because I was getting a little bit bored with the stocking stitch. So I did a bit more, got it to roughly where it, well, more or less where I think it needs to be, and did the shaping on the back of the neck and the shoulders, and bound off. So that piece is now just sitting there, and I'll start the front piece, but now I've got the template, if you like. I know what length the main selvage seam edge needs to be up to the armhole shaping, and then I know what length it needs to be from the armhole shaping to the back of the neck. So I'm hoping I've done the sort of complicated bit, the bit that had the most potential for disaster. But essentially, I'm happy with how the piece sits on my back, and with a wrap top, I think you have a lot more scope for room for movement, literally, really, because of the way that it takes its shape. It takes its shape by how you tie it up. So I don't think the fit is as critical as it might be on a one piece, a sort of all over, like a single piece top or something like that, where if you've shaped it a bit wrong, there's really nothing you can do to adjust it. And that's the word, adjustability. You get adjustability with a wrap top. So I'll start working on the front bits. I would say at the moment I've got a fighting chance of getting it done by Christmas, and I haven't got a very busy couple of weeks coming up either. I've had a couple of busy weekends recently where I haven't been able to knit as much as I might have liked, but stuff tends to come up with alarming regularity, to be honest, at the moment. But fingers crossed I can get a little bit of knitting done over this week. If you're on Instagram, and possibly on other platforms, around the beginning of the month, people often show a snapshot of what they've knitted in the previous month. Sometimes it's a sort of a screenshot of their Ravelry projects, and they're great. It's really lovely to get a general impression of what people have been knitting, and usually I'm completely blown away by how much people have managed to knit. But it occurred to me, I sort of thought, oh, I'll see what I've done. Well, if you look at my Ravelry project pages, it basically looks like I knitted nothing in October, which is why I came up with the term duplicate October. I don't think it's going to catch on as a hashtag, but I thought, this is curious, this doesn't make any sense. I've been, you know, knitting like fury. Why do I not have anything? And I realised it's because Halloween was all duplicates. I made a second Halloween apple cozy, and just to say, if you've made a project already on Ravelry and then you make it again, do you start a second project for that? I'm just curious, because I could do, I name all my Ravelry projects with the year and then the month. If I've done the same project in two different months or two different years, I can make a second one. I just thought maybe it was a bit unnecessary. I don't know, I suppose it just comes down to what I feel makes most sense for me. But that's why all I've done so far is I've added, where relevant, an extra photograph to an existing project. So I did, as I say, I did a duplicate Halloween apple cozy. Of course, I knitted a second To the Sea jumper for my husband, which is quite a big project. I made a second Capita hat, the one I made for my son, having already made one for myself, and I have another in the pipeline. And I made a second pair of Soul Garden socks for my daughter. So in fact, that's an apple cozy, a jumper, a hat and a pair of socks, which isn't bad for 1 month. But because they were all duplicates, it just looks like I'd simply put my needles down for October and that was that. Which really, I couldn't be further from the truth. I'll finish up by just mentioning some mittens I've made. I've realised that I went out to the rugby a couple of weeks ago, took all my mufflements with me. So I had a cowl, I had a hat and I had a pair of gloves. Of course, nothing matched because I wasn't that organised. But each of them are things I love. I will put a link to the cowl. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the name and I'm not going to disappear off into my Ravelry pages now, but the cowl I love, the hat is the Capitan, as I've talked about, and the mittens were some that I sort of hurled together, I think is the term, myself. I was looking at some really lovely mitten patterns last winter, but many of them were knitted cuff down, and I just didn't want to do that. I think I've got over it a bit now. I think I went from one extreme to the other. I would knit cuff down now, but I don't know. I don't enjoy it, obviously, as much as top down. And I wanted to knit some mittens that were basically the same concept as a pair of socks, but with thumbs. So I took the basic proportions for mittens that I'd seen, charted my own, I called them Scandi Mash because I took some of the Scandinavian patterns, the rows and things like that, and did my own version, although I did screw up at one point, which I see every time I put them on. It wasn't in the knitting, it was in the designing, and it just didn't work out on the mitten quite as I had expected it to. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be more mittens. And then I just put a thumb in roughly where seemed useful. And I was thinking, I mentioned the other day that it might even have been the garden clog socks. I thought they were a potential candidate, or maybe the sole garden socks, but they were a potential candidate for an afterthought heel, despite everything I said a few months ago when I had total nightmares doing an afterthought heel. I think it's just that the afterthought heel wasn't right for the standard socks I do for my husband, but I can see more that they might work for these slouchy socks that I've done more recently. But I thought that the mittens might be a good candidate for a sort of afterthought thumb, if there is such a thing. I have a recollection that there is, because you're basically knitting the tube so that it's the length that you want. It comes far enough up your arm to be comfy. I can't stand things that sort of meet your sleeves, and so you get this little chilly gap all the time. I like them to be more like gauntlets, somewhere in between. And so you can get that to the length that you want with the pattern in, and then put in your afterthought thumb, bearing in mind that when you're in that general area with the pattern on the mitten, you don't want it to really wreck a decorative scheme. But they've been great, actually. I put a picture up of them on Instagram. It's a picture from last year. It's not great, but it'll do. They're far from perfect, but they've been great. They really are lovely and warm. You get that lovely effect that you get with stranded colour work, where because you're carrying floats, you get that extra layer of warmth, and they're great. They're really, really cosy. I made some mittens. Gosh, I was trying to say muffins. I made some mittens out of sock yarn a little while ago, and they're all right, but they're very light gloves, you know. They don't really offer you much protection. The ones made out of, I think it's Aran, at the very least it's DK, something, you know, nice and cosy. They're great. I'm really pleased to have them. I will love you and leave you for this week. I hope by the time we chat again next week, I will have made good progress on the wrist warmers, if not actually finished them. I've got the wool pack this Friday, so I'm sure I'll make some progress then. Maybe less chat, more knitting, so I don't screw them up again. But what's the fun in going to one of these groups if you don't chat? And I will probably have made some progress on Ivy. And who knows, the polystyrene balls I've ordered may even have arrived. And then I might be able to start on knitting baubles. And then Christmas will really be with us. Until next week. Bye.